You will permit me, I'm sure, to tell you a little bit, but not everything, about baptism as it is taught in the Bible. We are Baptists, and Baptists understand the Scriptures to say that those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ should be baptized. Baptists take a lesser view of baptism than most, because there are many churches who, in our view wrongly, say that baptism actually saves. And we don't believe that. We believe that baptism is a sign for those who have been already saved that they are following in the footsteps of their master. I want first of all to explain to you that baptism begins with the Lord. It's not the funny idea of silly people called Baptists. John the Baptist was the first exponent. The word actually means John who baptizes. And he was the one who was sent by God. He says himself that he was sent by God. And the gospel writer says of him that he was sent by God. And he was sent by God and named by God. And that's always a mark of someone who has some special calling, that his name was not to be Zacharias, but John. And he was sent to baptize. And you would know and expect that the person who was sent to show the world concerning baptism would know how to do it and who to do it to. And therefore, we see from John that he baptized where there was much water. He didn't sprinkle. He needed to be able to dip those whom he was baptizing in the water. So we read, he baptized in the Jordan at a particular place where it wasn't just shallow, but where it was deep enough to submerge. Time afterwards, when the Ethiopian came to be baptized in the desert under the preaching of Philip, he saw some water after he'd been convinced that Jesus was Lord and Messiah. And he said to Philip, "See, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized?" And Philip, as you know, says, "If you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you may be." But then we read, they went down into the water, both of them together. In addition, we read in the Scriptures that when John the Baptist came baptizing, that he baptized under certain conditions. I'm just going to read to you a couple of verses from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, verse 3. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness," John the Baptist, "prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. "And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins." What it means is this, that he baptized those who had desired to make their way straight, because Jesus was coming, but hadn't yet come, but they wanted to be ready for him. And therefore, they pledged that by baptism, they confessed their sins, and they desired to make their lives straight. It was, therefore, for those who had repented. And it was by that repentance that the remission of sins was obtained. Sins were confessed to John the Baptist, and in consequence a different life ensued. And you'll remember that John the Baptist was teaching the soldiers and others who came to him and saying, "How should we now live?" And he was saying that they shouldn't defraud, shouldn't cheat, shouldn't be cruel and rough. But what was to follow upon baptism was a life filled with the Spirit of God and worthy of God. Clearly those who were baptized by John were baptized in public. Everybody knew now that they were the disciples of John. And they knew also what they had pledged. It was for those who could and did consciously desire and understand these things, and therefore emphatically not for infants. The Bible lays no age, minimum or maximum, when somebody must be baptized, only that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, have repented of their sins, and believe that they have obtained that pardon and have turned to the Saviour as their Lord. The word baptize is used in a number of senses in the Bible. First of all, baptism with water. Secondly, to be baptized with the Spirit. And secondly, it's a picture of the cross. Jesus said to his disciples, "Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" But we're just dealing with baptism in water. The word means, I don't know if there's any people here who like language and who like Greek, the word bapto means to wash. Any word with I-Z in it means to wash thoroughly or to do whatever the word is. Nomio means to think, nomidzo means to really think. So baptizo is a word for really getting washed. The washerwomen might use bapto, they were just putting it in the water, but if they were giving it a really good scrub, it would be baptizo. But the word means to thoroughly overwhelm. To thoroughly overwhelm. Now, John baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. And probably the single thing you need to master about baptism is that John the Baptist was sent to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. It's written in John 1:31, "In order that Jesus should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water." In other words, one unique thing stood out above all, that by baptism, Jesus was to be declared to all and sundry, and particularly the Jews, that he was the Messiah. When he was baptized, the Lord acknowledged it, and there was the symbol, the sign, the picture, the reality of the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon him, and God the Father speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he should be made manifest to Israel, "I have come baptizing in water." Now, because John had been baptizing people who confessed their sins, and his baptism was for those who confessed their sins, John was very, very unwilling to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he knew to be sinless. And Jesus said to him, "Suffer it," or "allow it to be so now, in order to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, Jesus said, "Do it, and you will inaugurate, we will inaugurate all the things that are going to lead up to the cross and lead up to his death, and lead up to the salvation of men and women, fulfilling all righteousness." However, for us, it is different. But we do share the same declaration. Baptism declared the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Messiah. Baptism declares his people who trust in him to be his, to be henceforth in him. And therefore it's helpful to see in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to carry on the baptizing as John the Baptist had done it, and for a time there was an overlap. They were both baptizing. Now, only two of Jesus' disciples can be shown clearly to have been baptized with John's baptism. You remember two of them, John and his brother, were John's disciples and therefore had been baptized. But there is a very useful and a very marvelous but sometimes overlooked verse in the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 22, which does speak of the baptism of his disciples. And that verse reads like this: "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized." Now, at first glance, you might say, well, you know, he baptized generally. But actually, the rules of grammar don't allow that. The only mention has been made in the verse and in the sentence, and according to the grammar, is that Jesus and his disciples were present. And when we read, therefore, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Who? Well, they're the only people mentioned. It has to be them. And in the next chapter, straight away, you get this. When the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Now you've got a situation in which Jesus has been preaching. The crowd have been moved by the things he said, and those who want to be his disciples ask for baptism. The disciples do the baptizing while Jesus observes with approval. That's what's going on. He's done the preaching. He wants baptism. He knows that it's been commanded by God. And so he sits back and he watches the disciples do the baptizing. Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples did. And that's how it went throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, although baptism is scarcely mentioned again. It's just taken for granted. But at the very end of the Gospel according to Matthew, in what is known as the Great Commission, that is to say the command that the Lord Jesus gave for his disciples to go into all the world and preach the Gospel, this is what Jesus said. Last words of the Gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now there's two words there for teaching. Go therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things. Not the same word. The meaning is this. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What's Jesus saying? When you made a disciple, when he believes, when he's repented, believes and is saved, then baptize him or her. Then the rest of their lives they spend mastering the scriptures, mastering the ways of God, following in his footsteps, sanctified by the Spirit till they enter heaven. And this is what is to happen until the Lord returns. Lo, I am with you always, while you're making disciples, while you're baptizing, and while you are teaching, even unto the end of the world. So there is no doubt that Jesus desired that his disciples should carry on baptizing. And here's an interesting comment. The command to the apostles and ministers who follow them is to baptize those who become disciples. But how? How can they baptize if people don't obey the command to be baptized? It follows, therefore, that though this was a command to the apostles to baptize, it comes in passing, doesn't it? That it's a command to those who have become disciples to be baptized. Just one or two other things. This is only a survey. There's much more about baptism, much more than you would probably credit in the New Testament. But the next thing I want just to mention is the essential difference between the baptism which John the Baptist did and the baptism which Jesus does and his disciples do and we do. Now, both the baptism of John and the baptism that the disciples do is for sinners. And it's when they've repented of their sin and become disciples. The baptism both of John and of the disciples is for those who put their lives right before God in Christ. And the baptism is for those who have confessed their sins. But there's one thing that Christian baptism, the baptism by Christ and his disciples in his name, has that John the Baptist's baptism didn't have. And that is what I will call identification. Now, let me explain. Romans 6 is probably the best passage to look at for this. Romans 6 and verse 3. Now, Paul is arguing and expects the disciples to know. Do you not know, you see? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, notice what he doesn't say, first of all. He says that the going down into the water of baptism is like burying an old life and rising up into a new life. And he says it can be likened to the death of Christ upon the cross. And in Christ, we now shed our old life and we rise in newness of life. Now, that doesn't happen at baptism. It's already happened. Happens when we believe in Christ. This just is a public declaration that these things have happened to us. But now, here we have these words, that like as Jesus was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we should walk in newness of life. The parallel is not that just like Christ is raised from the dead, so we shall be raised from the dead. That is very true. But it actually isn't what Paul is saying. What Paul is actually saying is that in baptism into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death, that being buried with him by baptism, we are raised up from the dead, that's from the old life, by the glory of the Father, to walk in newness of life. That is to say, the contrast is not dead and we'll be raised again one day in heaven, which is true, but dead and raised to live a lovely new life now in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because we are identified with him in his death. We are in Christ. God the Father sees believers in Christ. Their sins are pardoned. He doesn't see them in the old Adam, in their old nature. He sees them in Christ. They're identified with Christ. And therefore, the merits of the Saviour are imputed to the disciples. Well, there's lots of other things that I could speak about. But I speak finally about the whole matter of Scripture and tradition. The Church of the Reformation argued for the Bible being the sole repository of everything we should do, both in living and in our worshipping and serving in the Church. Half of the Church at that time became half Reformed. That is to say, they agree about the Bible, but they say we may add tradition onto it so that we may consult both the Bible and tradition. The word tradition is a Latin word. It means handed on, what we hand on from one generation to another generation. Now, the Reformation churches and those who historically follow them believe that the Bible is all that should be consulted. Those who were only half Reformed, they felt, no, we should have the Bible, but we should also observe traditions that have been gone on. Now, Jesus says, talking about the Jewish traditions, but it's true of any tradition, that once you put traditions alongside the Bible, the heart of man is such that people become more interested in tradition and less interested in the Bible, till you get all traditions and no Bible. And that's the difficulty. And so therefore, we unashamedly, and we pray rightly in our judgment, believe that the Bible is correct in the way it presents believers, baptism as being for believers, baptism as being by immersion, and baptism as being identification in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's much more. It is for beginners. If you studied baptism all your life without being baptized, you'd know less than when you started. The Lord instructs those who begin their Christian life by being baptized, by obeying him with more light. I know not much more about baptism now than I did when I was baptized. But the trouble with me was I was converted and I waited nearly 6 months before I decided to be baptized. Well, before I yielded to the claims and the arguments of God. Now, you see, that's a bad thing. Youngsters, what would you think if your parents said to you, will you do this? And you thought about it for 6 months and then perhaps somewhat reluctantly afterwards decided, yeah, yeah, you might do that. To see that the Lord requires baptism and you've become a believer and then to wait for 6 months, are you going to hang about for 6 months every time the Lord asks you to do something? The whole notion is ridiculous. Although Jesus did say that there was the man who was asked by his father to do something and he said, I won't go. But afterwards he did. And there was the man who said, yeah, I'll go. But he didn't. You can hang about. But if you want to be an obedient disciple, this is for beginners. The first thing he asks believers to do, once they have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation, is to be baptized. And he gives great joy and great encouragement, not to say great assurance, to those who follow him through the waters of baptism.